In Turkey, dozens were killed in that airport attack, but well over 200 people survived with injuries. Here in the U.S., there were dozens, more than 50, wounded survivors of the Orlando nightclub shooting. 8 remain hospitalized. Collectively, they've endured more than 70 surgeries so far. Today, we want to take a moment with survivors. What will survivors' lives be like? Well, our next guests can make an educated guess. Emery Hochhalter was a 17-year-old student at Columbine High School in Littleton, Colorado in 1999, eating lunch outside when she was hit by 2 bullets. She is now a paraplegic using a wheelchair. She joins us by Skype from Colorado. Emery, thank you.
Yes, absolutely.
And Derek O'Dell was a student at Virginia Tech in 2007 when the shooter entered his classroom. Derek was struck in the arm, but he scrambled over desks and then with a friend held the door shut. Twice the shooter tried to re-enter. Derek held on. 32 were killed that day. More certainly would have been had he and a friend not barricaded that door. Derek joins us now from the studios of WVTF in Roanoke, Virginia. Derek, welcome to you as well.
Thank you.
And Emery, I want to start with you because I'm not sure if we should add another victim to the Columbine shootings, because I understand that 6 months after the shootings, you write about how depression runs in your family. But 6 months after the shootings, your mother killed herself. Was it because of Columbine?
Columbine certainly didn't help her, yeah. But she had really bad depression for 3 years before that. And then Columbine happened, and that was just the final straw for her. It didn't directly cause it, but it certainly didn't help her.
Well, and it couldn't have helped you,
know.
And so we're so sorry. But, you know, you have achieved so much struggling through such terrible pain. So tell us, what happens to you, and I'm going to ask Derek as well, when then you have the Orlando shooting?
Well, for me, I immediately get taken back to April 20th. I get memories, I get flashbacks, and then I also get really upset because the people that were impacted by the Orlando shootings are now part of a club that no one wants to belong to. I just feel for them because I know a little bit about what they're going through. I don't know exactly because the circumstances were different, but we both were impacted by a crazy person with a gun.
Well, and Derek, I know that you'd be the first to say that your injury was nowhere near what Anne-Marie's was, but you suffered the psychological and emotional aftermath we'd expect, struggled with PTSD, I understand. So what happens for you when you hear about Orlando?
Yeah, for me, certainly the mental injuries are more severe than the physical ones. And every time one of these shootings happens, whether it's in a public place or a school, certainly it brings back memories from Virginia Tech for me personally. But just like Anne-Marie said, more shifts towards, more people become part of this club, unfortunately. And feeling for them as they go through everything that we have.
Yeah, so it recharges the feelings that you went through. And, I mean, you fought for your life and saved your life and other lives. You've said that talking about this helps, and so we want to tell listeners that. We're not, forcing you certainly to do this. But what can the Orlando survivors expect? Is it the sounds? Is it the smells? What is it?
I think for each individual person, it's different. For Orlando, it wasn't a school. It was a nightclub. And, you're enjoying your night out. And you don't expect to see this happen. Right. So it destroys your sense of security, not only for them going forward, but also it makes you reevaluate every single place that you go in your life and evaluate an escape plan. And definitely brings back memories in terms of the gunpowder and the smells and the sights and sounds from the shooting that occurred at Virginia Tech. But also the mental anguish that everybody feels after the shootings, both personally and all those families and survivors and victims that get affected by this shooting.
Yeah.
So having to deal with that again and, reaching out to some of the fellow survivors from Virginia Tech helps me personally in terms of dealing with my own mental anguish after each shooting occurs.
Also, you do speak with other survivors from Virginia Tech.
Yeah, Virginia Tech did a fantastic job creating a group or an outreach of all the survivors. I think that's one of the best things that hopefully with Orlando that those victims can set up for themselves, is because everybody knows what each individual person has gone through.
Same thing here happened here in Boston. The survivors of the marathon bombing very much function as one organism. It's sort of a one for all for one. They make decisions together, and they say that's helped them. And Anne-Marie, I mentioned how Derek fought for his life. You did too, in a way, because first responders thought you were dead, and you managed to raise a hand. You know, that probably saved your life. But now, from our understanding, you live in constant pain that you have to manage. Isn't that a constant reminder of that day?
Yes, it is. I was actually shot twice. The first bullet was the one that paralyzed me, but the second bullet, it ripped through all of my internal organs. So that's the one that really was really life-threatening. And I barely saw the ambulance when it pulled up, and they were prepared to move on. Mm-hmm. And so I did reach out my hand. But with a spinal cord injury from a gunshot wound, it does create oftentimes a really, really large amount of nerve pain. And it is a reminder. I mean, the wheelchair is a reminder too, but the nerve pain, it just seems to be getting worse with every passing year. I just do the best I can to try to manage it. So it's hard.
You know, your thoughts on that, because maybe people in the Colorado area are aware of this, but I don't think many of us really think about the fact that there are people in wheelchairs across the country and living with PTSD, and there's hundreds of them at this point. I don't think we check in with them enough.
Yeah, there are so many people. From the Aurora Theater shootings, there were a lot of people that had long-lasting injuries. Our lives are permanently impacted, both emotionally, of course, but also physically in a lot of cases.
Are you in touch with Columbine? So long ago, you're all in your 30s. Are you in touch? I mean, you have school reunions, huh?
We do have Facebook, and so that's almost like a school reunion. And so a lot of us do keep in contact, and we band together when the anniversary comes around or when there's another shooting, because we know how it impacts us. And I've reached out to a lot of people in other shootings, especially Aurora, because that was local. And I'm also here for any of the people that were impacted in Orlando. You can message me on Facebook. I'm here for you.
Hmm. Derek, what else would you say that you know that someone might use in moving forward? Now, you were able to go back to Virginia Tech the following semester. You finished your studies. You went on to a veterinary degree. But what would you say?
I think it's the reality of the situation now. More people are getting to know somebody that's been affected by a mass shooting than not knowing. And for me personally, having a great family and friend network, at the time my girlfriend was at Virginia Tech, and now we're married, and having her by my side and my family and friends has helped me recover through all of this, and even when these terrible tragedies happen every year, every month.
As much as you can, a sense of normalcy. And Anne-Marie, you wrote a letter on Facebook to one of the shooter's mothers. She'd written a book, and she said that all the proceeds were going to go to support people with mental health issues. You wrote about how you appreciated that. That would have been wonderful for your mother. You also wrote, interestingly, that a good friend once told you, bitterness is like swallowing a poison pill and expecting the other person to die. So you write, I've forgiven you. How much does forgiveness help?
Well, it's freeing. It's liberating. She had written me a letter about 6 months after that I was injured, saying how sorry she was and that she asked for my forgiveness. And so I let her know that I had forgiven her.
Because you couldn't at the time, right? You couldn't at the time.
Well, it was only 6 months after.
Right,
so,
right.
I mean, everything was still so fresh. And then I put the letter away. And then when I heard her book come out, I had to write her and let her know, because there were a lot of families that were very upset with her for doing this. And I wanted to let her know that not everyone felt that way. I do believe that bitterness is like swallowing a poison pill and expecting the other person to die. It only harms yourself.
Yeah. And Derek, just to that point, though, that I mean, I'm wondering if that's another point you'd make, that it's never over.
Exactly. There's constant reminders, you know, whether it's physical wounds or like Anne-Marie's felt in terms of worsening pain over the years. But at the same time, I think focusing on that you're here. So many of the people that have died in these shootings probably would trade places for you in a heartbeat. So making sure that you focus on that you're here and that you can do everything with your life now and try to the best that you can in the current capacity that you're in. You know, so often there's survivor's guilt, knowing that you have survived this and other people didn't. But in talking with a bunch of the families that had lost children and family members at Virginia Tech, it's amazing how much they kind of move on through watching the victims move on as well. I continue on with my life and what I love, my passions being veterinary medicine and being with my family. It's an important part for me.
Oh, doing it because they can't.
Derek, I definitely agree with you. It was so interesting what you said about how the people who have lost their loved ones are kind of living vicariously through the survivors' lives. That actually happened in my case because I became very close with Rick and Sue Townsend. Mm. They lost their daughter, Lauren, in the library that day. And we have become very, very, very close. So good can come out of it. And having a good support system is key, like you said.
That's Anne-Marie Hochhalter, a survivor of the Columbine shootings, paraplegic who lives and very actively lives in a wheelchair, and Derek O'Dell, a survivor of the Virginia Tech shootings in 2007. Thank you both so much.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
It strikes us that while battling pain every day, Anne-Marie helps police carry out active shooter trainings. And Derek has said he's finally gotten over the guilt that while he saved many, he couldn't save more. But he is uncomfortable with being called a hero.